You know, this is really a remarkable period. There are a lot of people who made a lot of money in a lot of different areas. The other day, I don't know how many millionaires were made overnight when the lockup restrictions were gone from SpaceX and everybody could start selling their stocks. But then, you know, in the other breath, you talk about a Musk worth $1 trillion. There's a new book that's out, or coming out mid-September that really, really looks interesting. It's called Everywhere Millionaire. And it talks about how people made their money, and some of it not necessarily in very, very exotic ways either. The co-author, Owen Zinar, is joining us right now, and it's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks, David.
So tell me what you found. I mean, the clearest path is probably technology. At least that's what I thought.
You know, most people think, if you ask who's rich in America, they think of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos and Taylor Swift. And those people certainly are very rich. But what we found was this hidden world of millionaires who number 3 million. So there's 3 million people who have at least $5 million, and they're doing it running ordinary businesses. So this can be things like Buc-ee's. You know,
he's probably approaching a billion, but
no, and so some of them can be, you know, north of $100 million. Yeah. Like, take the typical centimillionaire in America. It's the type that we're talking about. It's a private business owner, could be an auto dealer with a bunch of auto dealerships, could be a beverage distribution business that, you know, like John Now, for example, is a pretty famous Texan. I think he sold his business for about $1 billion, but they're ordinary businesses. And if you just go out and look around the world and say, gosh, you know, who's the richest person in my friend's kid's high school? And you ask, you know, it's often not Elon Musk. It's somebody who owns a big house, and maybe it's their second house or third house. And you say, you know, what do they do? And it's almost always a private business owner.
But that's the most dangerous, isn't it? I mean, the attrition rate in small business is astronomical. And without fail, we follow the NFIB, the National Federation for Independent Business Optimism Index. And these are the most pessimistic people I've ever seen in my life.
You know, I think they're one of the messages of our book is that you should be more optimistic, both about the state of getting rich in America, that more people have a shot and you don't have to be elite to do it. So one of the cool things that we do is we put together data on 10 million entrepreneurs in America, and we compare them to everybody who's similar but didn't decide to start a business. And the ones who start on average do much better. Even the typical guy who starts makes about $7,000 more a year. And part of the reason why is even if it doesn't work, you know, they can go and get a similar job. And so I think there's a lot more opportunity than people appreciate. You know, there's kind of this sense in America right now that things aren't going as well as we hope. But when you look at the data on who's really making it, it's amazingly uplifting. There's a lot of people from almost every town in America who are really doing quite well.
And it's interesting to see the way the job descriptions change and the way wealth changes. For example, everybody's talking about data centers right now. But the spinoff business out of that has been astronomical. I mean, on the New York Stock Exchange, one of the hot stocks has been Sherwin-Williams because, you know, you use it in the process and you do a lot of painting and sealing and that sort of thing. So there are a lot of businesses that are not very sexy that I guess are very profitable.
Oh, absolutely. We, you know, one of the chapters in the book, we take a road trip across America, and the first stop is in Mississippi. It's a guy who sells gutters, and he's just like, I sell gutters and gutter servicing, and you can make an enormous amount of money. I think he has his headquarters in Texas, if memory serves. And, you know, you can also go and look at a very basic thing like selling hot chicken sandwiches, or the person who makes sure those bathrooms have toilet paper and they're restocked. And we've interviewed a bunch of wealthy business owners, and some of these people have $50 million, $100 million, and they're selling trash bag liners.
The other key to retaining wealth seems to be, on the one hand, to know when to buy, in other words, when to start a business, but to know when to sell.
Yes.
And you mentioned the automobile business, and that's true. For a long time, the wealthiest people in small towns were the car dealers. But by the same token, they have been selling, and that's what made the auto nations of the world and everything else. So how do they figure that out? When to take the profits and
run? That's tough. I mean, I think one interesting thing, you know, there's the Silicon Valley, you know, move fast and break things. I think the typical everywhere millionaire moves slow and makes things, and it takes decades to get wealthy. You know, there's a kind of incremental progress. In terms of when to sell, I agree. It is tough. You know, one of the stories we open up with a book with is a $60 million wedding of a family that flew everyone to Paris, and they had just sold their flew everyone to Paris and had a Adam Levine concert and rented out Versailles, and they had sold their auto dealership to Nick Saban for a pretty substantial payday, and they had you know, a massive wedding that was bigger than Jeff Bezos's wedding in terms of dollar amounts. And so I think it's hard to know exactly when to sell, but there's a lot of money in the auto business, and it's amazing to me how many people all across the country are really doing quite well running auto businesses. We bought private jet data and super yacht data, and there's a lot of private jet owners who are auto dealers.
You had, I gather you have access or got access to some of the IRS treasury data too. How did you use that, and how did you get access to that?
So that came from a project where the treasury was trying to figure out how much tax private businesses pay so that they can do their typical analysis to say, you know, if we were to change the tax code, what would happen? And it required us to create a paper trail between businesses and their owners. And that's how we got access to it. And then once you do that, it's this amazing lens into the American economy, because then you can see, okay, let's track when the business starts. Where does it come from? How do we get more of these people? How much money are they, you know, are they making? What's the tax base? How do you grow? And what creates an environment for successful entrepreneurs? And so over the last decade, we've been working on these projects. And that's how we have a new view on who's really rich in America.
So where are all these people? Silicon Valley, I know about, and maybe, you know, downtown Manhattan or even downtown Dallas. But where are the rest of these people that are so wealthy?
The interesting thing is they're everywhere. I mean, we titled the book The Everywhere Millionaire precisely for that point. I mean, one way to find them is to go, you know, I grew up, I spent a little time in Texas, but I also went a lot to the Lake of the Ozarks growing up. And if you go and look, there's a lot of big houses. Just go ask, you know, who owns that 5,000 square foot house? Or like in Alabama, I think there's Lake Martin. Who owns those big houses? Who has a lot of nice boats in Austin? And then ask them what they do. And they're, you know, it's basically everywhere. And, you know, it can be running 7 Jiffy Lubes. It can be, you know, Chick-fil-A franchisors. Like, and those are in most parts of the country.
Yeah, I know McDonald made many, many, many multimillionaires along the way. But, you know, now that's the new target. At least it started in California, but I would imagine some variation of that, some variation on wealth tax, maybe because of the K-shaped, you know, economy that we went through for so long. But I think they're in the crosshairs.
No, I think there's an interesting time for thinking about the politics of these folks. And, you know, it's interesting to go back a bit. Bill Clinton, in one debate with George Bush, said, you know, I want to have more millionaires than Reagan and Bush. And I think that's the right orientation to this question. I think it's healthy to want more people to do well and more people to get a shot. So that's my view.
Owen Zidar is a Princeton economist and co-author of the new book, Everywhere Millionaire. And after this book is a big success, you will be numbered among them, I assume.
I hope so.
Thanks for being with us. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.